take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Now, for those who have not been here the whole time, what I'm going to tell you is we are getting to the last chapter of the Bible, the last two messages this week and next week. We started back in the fall of 22 and worked our way through here. And today, I want you to cast your eyes on the screen. This is very brief. You'll recognize it. Would you do that, Mitch?
Home. Home. Something to be proud of. Home. Safe. Comfort. Worthy of protection.
Family. Home.
It's just a snippet of what you have seen, Tunnels to Tower. And I will tell you right now, this is not an advertisement for them. I want you to hear their. I want you to think about those words. First of all, let me say this. I am excited. That commercial excites me, and it makes me sad at the same time. It excites me because somebody has stepped up to take care of our veterans. It makes me sad because it wasn't the government. We asked them to go off and give life and limb, and they did. And then it fell to somebody else's lot to take care of them. But I want you to hear their words. Home. Home. Comfort. Peace. Home. And now these guys, I want you to think about this in the parallel. These guys are having houses built for them to their very specific needs. If you watch it, they're building the counters to where they can raise and lower so they can cook. It's a place built to their specific needs. Got to thinking about this, and I'm reminded in the Bible that the Jewish people were largely displaced out throughout the Bible. If you think about it, in the Old Testament, they started off in Egypt. They weren't in the land of promise. When God finally got them to the land of promise, he kicked them out. Do y'all remember that? He had the Assyrians, he had the Babylonians to take them out, and they spent a great deal of time displaced. Then you get the New Testament in Acts chapter 8, when Stephen was stoned, once again they dispersed. And you go, what does that have to do with anything? Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. Every time they were dispersed, you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to go home. Have you ever just wanted to go home? I mean, do you remember a time as a child? I do. Donnie, don't tell anybody. I remember a time as a child when I was left somewhere that I didn't want to be left. And after a while, I wanted to go home. And many kids just kind of get homesick. I get that. But just longing for home. It occurs to me that for every person on earth, every person in this room, everybody watching by live stream, who has received Christ Jesus, has followed Christ Jesus, has allowed Christ Jesus to change their life, if that's you, you're not at home. You know that, don't you? Songs have been sung. I was checking on all the things that have been sung over the years. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger traveling through this world of woe. No sickness, toil, or danger in that bright land to which I go. Here's what I'm saying to you. If you are a part of God's kingdom, this world is not your home. Oh, you may have a little fun along the way. That's fine. But this fun that you have down here is nothing compared to the fun and glory. Because you're headed to a better place. You're headed home. Now, I can tell everybody gets excited about that. I told you last week what Argel Smith said. He said, the reason that people don't really look forward to going home is because we got air conditioning down here and we're comfortable. But I'm telling you, heaven is going to be a great place. We have worked our way through the book of the Revelation. And as we have worked our way through the book of the Revelation, here's what I will tell you would have happened. If this book were made into a movie, where it had the orchestra behind it and everything. Guys, great job on your musical. I know it was fun to sing with the orchestra. But when you have that orchestra behind you, the orchestra will set the mood many times. Don't be embarrassed, you two. Stop it. I mean, you got up and you sang and you danced. If that didn't embarrass you, me mentioning your name in church shouldn't embarrass you, all right? If anybody needs any light, come up here. Cole's face is about as red as it could be, all right? I'm telling you, having both directed an orchestra and sung with an orchestra, there is nothing like the power of an orchestra. And if this was set to a movie, the orchestral track would have climaxed at the end of chapter 20 as we saw evil finally dealt with. We saw the prophet, we saw the false prophet, the beast, and Satan himself cast into the lake of fire. We saw everyone, listen, the message for you or me today, everyone who has not received Christ Jesus was cast into the lake of fire. And I can imagine the pinnacle, the climax of that orchestra music going, and then when they've gone down into the lake of fire, I can imagine the soothing music that comes as we started chapter 21 last week, spoke about heaven. As we get to chapter 22 today and we talk about home. I love Squire Parsons. He wrote that wonderful song, "Some Call It Heaven, But I Call It Home." If you will, let's stand to honor the reading of God's holy word. This is chapter is the final chapter, the final word, the finality of God's vision for us. 7 verses today. Then he, now I'm just going to kind of extrapolate this for you, then he was an angel. He is an angel. Then he showed me, that's John, then he showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the Lamb of God, the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the city's main street. The tree of life was on each side of the river, bearing 12 fruits, producing its fruit every month. How about it, farmers? Would you like to have a tree that produced fruit every month? The leaves of the tree are for the healing the nations. And there will be no longer any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. People will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light. That had been a good place for an amen. And they will reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits and the God of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your book. I thank you for your prophecy. I thank you for giving us a little preview into what you have in store for us when this world has passed away. Help us not to become too much at home here so that we can find our home with you one day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. They say a picture paints 1,000 words, and I would counter that a word can paint 1,000 pictures. When I read this text, pictures are what jump out at me. Nowhere is it truer in the Bible than this last chapter of the Bible. As we look at what happens after the climactic part of all of evil, and are you listening to this? If you enjoy doing evil and being evil, all of evil is going to be destroyed. And then chapter 21 and 22 takes place. What I want to do today is I think about home and think about home, and I want you to think about it with me. I want to paint you three pictures lifted directly out of the text here. I want you to see if you can see them, and I pray that they'll impact you. The first picture is found there in verse 1 of the 22nd chapter. It is the water of life. The water of life. Now, water of life means something to me. I was just sitting thinking and praying through this scripture. It does, because I remember when I was a teenager. Yes, I was a teenager, Macy. Don't look at me like that. I was a teenager at one time. When I was a teenager and we went on Boy Scout and Cub Scout hikes. I guess the Cub Scouts was before I was a teenager, but we would go on hikes. And when we would go on hikes, we would always go and camp close to water. Either a creek, either a river, a lake, or a pond. We always did that. We'd camp by the Pearl River on many occasions, Black Creek on many occasions, Lake Jeff Davis a time or two, Lake Columbia. We were all around, but we were always going to have water. Why? Because water helps you both in need and in deed, okay? Now, if you don't know what that is, you've never been on a camp out with scouts. The need is, about 2 days in, you need the boys to get water and get the odor off of them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Are y'all okay this morning? Okay. Indeed, we could use that. If we needed to go fishing, we could fish. If we need to put out some trot lines, we could. It met our needs for everything. I got to reading this, and my wife laughed at me, guys. I got to reading this about this place we call heaven. I want y'all to hear this. From what I can tell, every piece of property in the New Jerusalem that we call heaven is waterfront property. And the thing is, down here, waterfront property, when property's on the waterfront, what does it do to the value of the property? Ooh, thank you, Ken. You're exactly right. Go up. It seems to me that as I read this, all the property in the New Jerusalem is waterfront. Now, I want you to think about it. This water of life. When you live on the waterfront down here, you have all the toys. You have boats and jet skis, and you have rod and reels, and you have whatever else that you might need to make use of the water. Now, in heaven, it might be a little different, but the water is always there for your use. And I will talk about it in a second, but I got to thinking about this. If I say that all the land is waterfront, there's going to be some old-timers that go, why in the world would he say something like that? And the younger people are going, I might get my ticket and go up there because I want some waterfront property for all eternity. Because we enjoy being on the water. Can you think about it? This is not a pond like some of you guys have in your backyard and back 40 where it's still water. This is running water. And the thing about running water is that how good or how bad it is depends on its source, depends on the head, depends on where it comes. Did you read here with me? This water, it's clear as crystal. Some of us remember when all the lakes and ponds and the rivers were clear as crystal. But this one is flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and it's flowing right down the middle of the city. And there's a tree of life there. I want you to think about that tree of life. You see, this good water gives nutrition to everything around. The best I can tell, the best picture I can draw for you about that tree of life is that the water, the river's running around it, and the limbs extend beyond the banks so the fruit can fall on the ground. So you can enjoy the fruit. So when the leaves fall, you can use those in the healing manner that is needed. This tree of life that John speaks of, it's a special tree. It produces fruit. I don't know about you, but I love fruit. When I get to heaven, I can't wait to see what the fruit is. The only fruit that I think may not be in heaven is persimmons. But I bet there'll be apples and oranges and bananas and some we've not thought of. And they'll be produced every month. Now, when I talk about this tree of life, there's a debate of whether the tree of life is literal or symbolic. Can I just tell you, my position, this is not me preaching, this is giving you my opinion. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Because it's his tree, whether it's literal or whether it's symbolic, it's going to perform the same function. It's going to bring healing to the people, peace to the valley. It's going to bring everything that we need because it is the tree of life. You know, but I will tell you that this tree of life, this is not the first appearance in the Bible. You do know that, don't you? Back in Genesis, the tree of life was in the garden. In fact, it says that the Lord God put the tree of life and the tree of knowledge and of good and evil in the center of the garden. Now, seems to me that God, by design, gave us a choice. Sadly, our forefathers, that first man and woman, chose wrong. You see, they could have, instead of eating off the knowledge of the tree of good and evil and bringing sin into the world, they could have eaten off the tree of life and lived forever. That's what they were designed to do. And you see, ever since then, we have been walking this road of sin. It's the very reason, like when Allie got baptized this morning, Larry baptized last week, all the rest baptized. I mean, this is why we've been through that water. It's because Jesus comes to clean us because we live in sin. Home, the water of life, the tree of life. Because you see, the New Jerusalem is all about life. It's about the life that Jesus wants to give you and me. This tree of life reminds us about heaven. I call heaven New Jerusalem. We just read a couple of weeks ago that coming down out of heaven was coming down out of the heavens was New Jerusalem and a new heaven. A new heaven and a new earth. What we call heaven is really a New Jerusalem. But God has reworked. This tree of life should remind you that this place, this home that he's preparing for his people, it's a permanent home. I told you this a couple of weeks ago. It's a permanent home. It's a prepared home. It's a personal home. It's a pure home. It's a peaceful home. And most of all, it's a home with the presence of our precious Lord there. For everyone who has trusted Christ, this is home. The water of life. Second picture. Second picture is the worship of the Lamb. The worship of the Lamb. And there will be no night, there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. In my heart of hearts, I'm thinking, finally, Eric, authentic worship. Worship that touches you in your heart and your soul. We'll be at home. We'll be in this designed, constructed, built place just for us. And the most natural thing we do. Are you listening, Baptist? The most natural thing we will do in that place is worship the Lamb. Now that bothers some of us. Because when the Bible speaks of worship, and you go check me out on this if you'd like. When the Bible speaks of worship, the Bible speaks of falling prostrate before Him. That word literally means to bow down or to fall down before Him. We have seen it through His Word. From the beginning of time, when people come into His presence, we worship. And I'll just say this to you. Worship is addictive and it's catching. I love it when our teenagers come back from camp. I'm just telling you, I love it when they come back from camp. Because they come back on fire. The worship that they come back in their heart is catching. They raise their hands, they raise their hearts, they raise their voices, they raise their lives to Him. Shame on us adults for making them backslide to get back in fellowship with us. You see, this worship is about all we are. I have not found any place in Scripture where worship is like many of us think it is, where we just sit there and sing or stand and sing. Worship involves the emotion. It involves the mind. It involves the body. Given to Him all that we are. Finally, the time will come when the true believers will fall down in worship. Now, I do know this, that even as I'm talking about this, there are people in their minds and hearts going, I don't want any part of that. Just put me in my pew and don't expect too much of me. I'll sing if I know the words. I'll pray when they call on me to pray, but I just don't want much of that physical stuff. You will not be comfortable in heaven. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to be face to face with the Lamb who saved us from our sin. We're going to, watch this, we're going to have just seen all the evil, the devil, the false prophet, and the beast, and all the folks who rejected Jesus. We have just witnessed them being cast into heaven, into hell, the second death, the lake of fire. And we'll be sitting there so thankful for what Jesus did for us. We won't even be able to contain ourselves. Why do we have to wait till then? Why don't we worship Him like that today? We'll worship like that because finally the thoughts will be gone. Brother Jerry, why is so much going to happen there and not here? Why is that so? Well, can I give you four or five reasons that I just stunk up. I stunk them up. Let me just give you four or five reasons that why we are like we are here and why we will be like we are there. First of all, when we get there, we won't have any false gods. There'll be no substitutes. We'll be face to face. We used to sing that old song, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face to see and know. Whew. We'll be face to face with Him. Second thing I'd suggest to you is that after we see His face, instead of wearing t-shirts of our favorite idol, you know, that's why they have American Idol down here. Instead of wearing t-shirts with our favorite idol on them, if you look in the Scripture right here, it tells us that we'll have His name on our head. Just like Satan put names on the hands and forehead, God puts the authentic symbol on our head. Next, I would suggest just our appreciation while we'll worship. Because of all the things that we've seen. When I think about that, we all know this and we repeat it and we don't think much about it. Have you ever wondered why God's going to wipe away every tear? Have you ever wondered why? I mean, we sang for years, no tears in heaven. I mean, why is he going to have to wipe away the tears? Could be a couple of reasons. It could be because finally, let me back up. It could be because when we saw those folks cast into the lake of fire, that there were some people who went there that didn't have to if we'd have shared our faith with them. Could have been some family. Just because one person in the family is saved don't mean everybody's going. It could be that finally it's dawned on us just what he did for us. The appreciation will drive us from our feet to our knees in front of him. It could be adoration. Jesus was not only the light of the world when he was in the world, but he's the light. Did you get that in verse 5? He's the light for all eternity. We don't play games with him today and then expect him to treat us like family. We worship him in spirit and truth because he has finally taken us home. Whew. There's one more picture I see here. Water of life, the worship of the Lamb. And finally, I see this. It's the word of the Lord. The words of the Lord. Now, when you get to verses 6 and 7, I think that it seems to me that the angel is speaking to John, trying to give him a message. And he says, these words are faithful and true. Does everybody know what true is? We struggle with that in 21st century America. What's true? What's true for you, not true for me? Well, that's a self-defeating statement. Next time somebody says, what's true for you is not true for me, you say, okay, well, I don't know that I believe that. If for me, the law of gravity supersedes everything else. If that's not true for you, go jump off a building. Let's see how it works out. You see, truth is that which is true for every person, in every place, at every time, forever. And that's the truth that our Lord Jesus gives us. He is faithful and true. In fact, a couple of chapters ago, we saw him riding a horse, and on his side it says, faithful and true. You look here and it says, I'm coming back. I'm coming soon. That's why I think he's talking to John. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecies of this book. Can I reword that a little bit? I thought about it and I wrote it down. Blessed is the one who reads, believes, and lives by the word of this revelation, because I am building you, them, those who receive me, a home in the New Jerusalem. So don't fret, don't sleep, don't get distracted, don't worry, don't abandon your first love, because I'm coming soon. Now the people that are not really excited about that are people that have found a home here on earth. People who have not been redeemed. Truth is that we think about heaven, we think about all that we've studied and read, and we wonder, will it ever happen? But you just don't know, Brother Jerry. Here's the thing. I am struggling so badly. Nobody appreciates it. We have one of the greatest group of young people, I think, around. I can just about count on them two or three rows or more deep right here every Sunday. I dare say that some of them could be going through this and going, is it really worth it? Everybody else gets applause. Everybody else gets attention. Everybody else gets everything else. except me. I just don't know what I'm going to do. And we get into the little pity party and we go, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, and you know how that goes. I'm good to think about home. Deborah and I live right over there at a very, very gracious house, nice house that you guys provide for us. You ever been into your own? You ever been into your house, or you ever been out of the country, and you just feel like people forgot you? Years ago, there was a missionary. He's a great missionary. He and his wife served the Lord in Africa for over 40 years. It's Henry Morrison. On his way back, after having been gone all those years, he wondered, who will remember us? Will anybody remember us and we've given our entire life here? Well, they were coming by boat, and Teddy Roosevelt happened to be, they found out Teddy Roosevelt was on that boat. And when they pulled into New York Harbor, there were throngs of people with signs saying, welcome home, welcome home, welcome home. And they were kind of excited. They thought, phew, people did remember that we're coming home. What time they did everything they had to do and they disembarked, the crowd was gone because everybody was there to see the president. And Henry said to his wife, he said, you know, for 40 years we poured our lives into the work of the gospel. For 40 years we've given all that we have. And when we come home, not a single person is here just to say, good to have you back. With divine wisdom, she looked at her husband. She said, I just want to remind you, you're not home yet. Brothers and sisters, when we give our lives to Christ and we're faithful, when we get home, we can expect the water of life. We can expect to worship the Lamb. And we expect to hear His words, well done. We will only hear those words, well done, if we've done well. Let's pray together.